Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us tonight as we are here to discuss such a topic as law passed concerning gay marriage. Now, how should the church respond? And I am so grateful to have a brother in the Lord, Apostle Xavier Ferguson, that's going to join us tonight to expound on this topic and to try to give some understanding, as well as I will give understanding as well concerning this topic. Apostle, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great tonight. Blessed. Thank God for you having me on your show tonight.
God bless you, and thank you for taking up the offer and wanting to be a part of this topic that is a very touchy topic. And, we've had a lot of publicity, the TV, as far as, showing what was done and all of this stuff. And then we had a lot of verbiage on Facebook and Twitter and different places like that. And what made me really want to talk about this tonight is because my heart was so saddened by the different things that I was seeing from the saints and people that are portraying and saying that they are saved, they are representatives of Christ. But yet and still, I'm seeing hatred. I'm seeing the hate stuff out on Facebook. And so, Apostle, what do we do in a situation like this where we are believers and we believe what the word of the Lord says concerning this situation? And I'm talking to you tonight as a person who got delivered from a life of homosexuality. And I simply believe in the word of God that if I choose to live a homosexual life, whether a law is passed or not in the land, I am still hell bound. So, Apostle, how do we as people of God handle this issue?
Well, the first thing that we must understand is that the word of God is going to stand all alone, all by itself. And the word
right.
of God has stated that man should not lie with another man as he does with the woman. The Bible
right.
says over in Romans, the first chapter, that the people that hold the truth, they know what the Bible says. And because they have denied what the word of God says he'll turn them over to a reprobate mind to believe that the things that they're doing are the correct things to do. In our society today, what we have to understand is the world is going to be the world. The
That's
world
right.
is going to make decisions based on what the people want.
Right.
And not what the word of God says. Even
right.
though we say that we are one nation under God, indivisible,
mm.
with liberty and justice for all, well,
right.
they say that we're under God because they use the Bible in order to swear people into office. They
right.
said that we're indivisible because we're supposed to stand together in unity as one nation, right?
Right.
But then you have to also understand the last part of that says liberty, which is the freedom of choice that the world has.
Right.
So in a situation that we're in today, what we have to do is the church has to remain steadfast in preaching that homosexuality is not the right thing to do. And we can't
right.
conform to to what the world wants us to conform to. Now,
that's
they
right.
say that love won. Bible says God is love. Well, watch this. Well, yeah, we love the people. We love people. But we cannot condone the activity that people do.
Right.
We are living in a sex-crazed society where it's not just homosexuality that's the problem, but also we have molestation, we have adultery, we have fornication, we have people watching pornographic films. You know, we have those things in society. We have people that are raping people. So we have a sex-crazed society, and we've always had these things in society. We've always had things just like fornication is against the law. Fornication is against the law, but homosexuality is lawful as of right now, what they're saying.
Right.
So so the church just has to stand firm and say to themselves, look, we're going to say that we still love you, but we cannot condone the activity of homosexuality. And, and that's the stand that we have to take. I'm not going to be homophobic, can't be homophobic in the society now, because everyone that was in the shadows are now going to come out of the shadows.
Right.
And by them coming out of the shadows, you're going to find out that your daddy probably was homosexual.
Right.
You're going to find out your mama probably was homosexual.
That's right.
And you're not going to ostracize them because they were homosexual, but you still have to tell them that according to Scripture, what you're doing is incorrect. And if you continue to do these things, at the end of the day, you're going to go to hell.
This is correct. Now, something that really has hit me that you said is that everybody is coming out of their hiding, or it's not something that is hidden anymore. Everybody is coming out to, because this is something that, you know, we're going to force feed you, right? But the thing that got me and what I've been discussing even with my church is this. The very first time that I was referred to as a faggot was I was 7 years old. I was growing up in the Church of God in Christ, and the mother of the church called me a faggot, okay? I did not know what that was. I did not know, you know, I just felt like it was something that was not right. And so when I got in the car with my mother and we were riding down the street, my mother asked me what was wrong, and I told her what had happened to me. My mother turned the car around and went back to the church. And she confronted this lady about calling me a faggot, okay? But that was a seed that was planted. What I'm finding is that we in the church are not showing love even to our children when they are babies. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We are planting seeds and not realizing that we're planting seeds. And this is something that I dealt with as a child. So my thing today is I want to encourage the church not to throw out hatred, not to throw out nastiness and filthiness, but to show the love of God. Do I make sense, man of God?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I want us to exemplify the love of God, because if we exemplify the love of God, I am living proof that the love of God works. I'm living proof that you can disagree with what I do, but you don't have to hate me. Do I make sense, man of God?
I agree.
And so this is something that I would like to talk about tonight, because as you stated prior, this is not the only sin, but I find that we are harping on the sin that we can see. But we don't address lying. We don't address fornication. We don't address, you know, all of these other sins, stealing. We don't address all of this other stuff. But the church is really harping on this sin because we can see it. Man of God, what do you say about not just homosexuality, but all sin? I believe sin is just simply sin.
I agree. Well, here is what we have to understand here. We have to embrace the totality of the Word of God. That's the totality of the Bible. We can't just take one part of the Bible and then just be the person over here with one part of the Bible. We have to teach the entire Bible. We have to teach sin
right.
for what it is, sin, and not a mistake.
Right.
It's not a mistake for a man to pull his pants down and allow another man to put his penis in that man's anus. That's not a mistake. So that's
right.
sin. Okay?
Right.
Let's just put it what it is. It's not
right.
a mistake for a woman to take her clothes off and lay down on her back and allow another woman to put her face between her legs. All right?
That's
sin. That's not a mistake. Okay?
Right.
Now a person can make a mistake and curse. They can do that. You can make a mistake and they get so mad into you. But the thing about it is this. The reason why this happened is because your inner man has not been transformed and renewed to the point where you've gotten that stuff out of your system.
Come on.
See, it has to be out of your system because, see, now if it's not out of your system, it's prone to come out because
right.
of your sin nature. It's going to come out.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, and if you continue
right.
to do it, it's not a mistake. It's sin. It's willful sin.
Right.
So
right.
so what we have to do is embrace the totality of the Bible. Now, same-sex marriage opened up a doorway. All
right.
right? And it opened up a major doorway in the entire country. This is why it seems like such a hot topic because it
right.
goes deeper than just the same-sex marriage because what
it's
you have
true.
To understand now is when your child your male child brings home a guy and says, this is who I'm in a relationship with. As a parent,
right.
you're going to say, hey, that's not right. But they're going to tell you that it's legal for me to have this person as my partner.
Right.
Where at one time, your children were afraid to bring home a guy and say, this
that's
is
right.
my partner. Right.
That's right.
And the same
That's
thing
right.
with a female. They were afraid to come home and say, "Mama, this is my girlfriend, and I'm a girl." But
right.
now, because of the same sex law being passed, now
right.
they're going to come home and say, "Mama, I want to take Janet to the prom instead of Lisa."
Yes.
And he's a boy. So
right.
now the traditional. The traditional relationship is now going to be out the door.
Right.
So you can expect anything to come into your house. So now how do we exemplify love in this situation? We
right.
have to tell them that, hey, look, the only reason I'm telling you that homosexuality is wrong is because God says that it is wrong. Just because society
right.
says that it's right, doesn't make it right. Just like smoking marijuana.
Come on.
Just
I was
because,
just getting ready
just to because, hallelujah, just because they say that marijuana is okay for you to smoke, watch this, if you smoke some and try to get a job, they're going to kick you out of there.
This is right.
You're not going to be able
this
to get a
right.
job because your urine dirty.
This is
if
right.
If you're getting food stamps, you're not going to be able to get food stamps because your urine, because they're going to start giving you urinalysis tests to get food stamps and government assistance. So if you own that stuff and you live in the projects and you're receiving government funding and government assistance and you're taking that money and you're smoking this legal marijuana that they say is
right.
okay for you to do, at the bottom line is you're going to lose all your benefits and you're going to be on the streets. Tie your thing. We can't just teach part of it. We gotta tell
right.
people, hey, I love you. This is why I am telling you what I'm telling
yes.
you. Don't cheat on your
right.
wife.
Right.
You know, don't cheat on your wife. Don't cheat on your husband.
That's
you
right.
You know, don't tell no lie on your income tax. Don't
Come
claim
on.
Children that you have
it don't
not raised.
You
don't
That's
belong
right.
to you just because you want to get an extra $1,000.
Right.
You can't do that. And then,
all
and
of
then,
these
and then
things
we,
are wrong.
All of them, man of God. I can go on, but go ahead, man of God. Come on.
And this is the reason that I really wanted to do this show tonight, is because we have to realize that there is no big sin and little sin. All of it is sin. And it seems like such a huge thing right now, and everybody is at an uproar. Now, man of God, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm just going to be honest. My feeling about this, is that the very first place that was given opportunity to deal with this homosexuality was the church. And the church did not deal with it, because we allowed people to be in position because they had talent. Because they were talented people, we dealt with them. But had we dealt with it in the church first, it would have never made it to the White House, never would have made it to the Supreme Court. I think about the woman that did not want prayer in the school. One woman got several different people to sign a petition, and that one woman ended up getting prayer taken out of the school. She was being murdered or killed by someone later, but that one woman was successful in getting prayer taken out of the school. My question to you, man of God, is why is it that the church is so set on fighting one another that we cannot come together for the benefit of our society being what it needs to be for the sake of our children that are being raised? Because we have a school system now who's getting ready to put in place that our children are being taught in kindergarten about same-sex marriage, and there is no way that we could X out our children being taught this because they're putting it in a health curriculum. Well, why is it that our church is not coming together when it comes to stuff like this?
I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of church leaders are cowards.
Okay?
They're cowards. They're cowards because what you have to understand here is, let's go to the mega preachers. All right? The mega preacher had the voice, and they could have easily said, let's go to Washington, D.C., they could have gathered up the voices of all these different mega pastors, could have got together and said, hey, we're going to meet at the steps of the Supreme Court, and we're going to protest what these people are about to do. Now, all of the homosexuals and people that were wanting to be a part of the law being made, they were there with signs and they were there marching, but the church was absent. And the mega pastors are the ones that's supposed to have made the clarion call. Those leaders that have the platform to say, hey, let's meet there. Because the smaller leaders, the smaller preachers, if you go, it's not going to make the news. But if some of these mega pastors would have been there, it would have made the news. It would have made an impact. But they were afraid to go. Here's why they're afraid to go. They were afraid to go because most of the mega churches are 401c3 funded by the government, which makes them government entities. Therefore, they cannot go against the very government funding that they are receiving. So whatever the government says is right, they have to go along with it. So a lot of the mega preachers did not stand up because they did not want to lose funding. And the ones that have the 501c3s that are not receiving funding did not want to lose their 501c3's tax exempt status because they have hope that they're going to receive funding. So the bottom line to it is the church was more focused on the money that they can receive than to stand up and say, hey, we're going to go here and protest against what's going to be said and what's going to be done. Now, and they could have did it because Farrakhan, a Muslim, put together a million-man march to go and march on Washington because of some injustices, and he's not even a Christian. So, and the Christians were afraid to stand up and go and stand up against the very government that's giving them funding. And even Farrakhan today, said that you cannot be Muslim and homosexual. He said that. Right. You can't do that. So how is the church now going to say that you can be homosexual and Christian? it just doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up
because of the money.
It doesn't. And this is what my main concern is for the church today, is that we have turned to the money and we are no longer concerned about the soul. I'm so grateful for this, for Mother Angela Pratt, because she was so concerned for my soul that she labored with me. But the church now is not concerned for the souls of the people. And for us pastors, and speaking of you and I, and I'm sure that there are many more like us, but they're few and far in between, we, you know, are concerned for the souls of the people, and we're struggling to do what needs to be done for the people, and we're struggling to like you said, we don't really have a platform, because we wouldn't make the news if we were there. But some of these big preachers, they will not go because they're afraid of losing the funding. Man of God, where are we going in this world today if we do not get a hold on this thing? If we don't stand up for something, we're going to fall down for everything. What are we going to do in this situation, man of God? Talk to me.
Well, man of God, the only thing that we can do in this situation now is the few people that are going to stay in the churches upon the real teaching of the Word of God is to continue to teach them the totality of the Bible. Because understand something now, in this time that we're living in, because the world is going to make it seem as though Christians are hateful people, and they hate homosexual, they hate them. And they're going to start leaving the churches. They're going to go to churches that are more friendly toward the homosexual. And a lot of pastors are going to start compromising because they don't want to lose people, and they don't want to lose their offering, and they don't want to be talked about as one that's against society. So all we can do now, because we know that times are going to get worse and worse because they're not going to retract the law. So things are going to get worse and worse. Evil men are going to get worse and worse. The Bible says in Timothy that perilous times shall come. They are now. So all we can do is stand for what we believe in. The Bible says that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that's going to lead to eternal life. And the Bible says there are few that find it. So all the people that you see sitting in these churches, out of 20,000 people, guess what? Only 200 of those 20,000 people may make it into heaven. Or it may be less than that. Because watch this now. All the people that follow Jesus, are only 120 of them receive the Holy Ghost in the upper room.
Right.
But the Bible says that there were 5,000 people that sat down and ate in one instance. And there were 5,000 plus women that sat down in another instance. So I would say Jesus had at a minimum of 10,000 people following him at one time. But it was only 120 people that made it into the upper room. It's going to be the same way when the Lord comes back. All these people that you see claiming to be born again believers that love the Lord are not going to make it into heaven. The Bible says there are only going to be a few that make it. So the only thing that you can do right now is to stand on what you believe. Don't back down.
That's right.
Do not compromise. Teach everything that you know to your successor, because one day you're going to have to leave this earth if the Lord don't come back and rapture you out. So you
teach
that person or those people, you teach them the totality of the Bible, and you charge them to never compromise what it is
that they're
supposed to be doing when they're preaching the Word of God, so that
your job
and your duty will be done. If you only can preach to one person, and that one person carries the true gospel for the rest of their lives, you've done what you had to do. So, man of God, what I say to you right now is stand, therefore, and when you can't stand no more, you keep standing.
That's right. And I'm so grateful that the people are hearing this tonight, because there are so many men and women of God that need to know that there is no compromise in God. The Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He's looking for a church without spot, or wrinkle. We've got to be responsible for every word that has proceeded out of the mouth of God, and we've got to live it. It just is what it is. We've got to live it, and if we do not live it, we will find ourselves in hell. Man of God, tonight, you know, I really want you to elaborate on when you say compromise. You know, when you say compromise, don't compromise. Talk to the people tonight about that word compromise, because I find that there are so many places that we have compromised the word of God. We have watered the word down. We started preaching a gospel of prosperity, and we're not preaching a gospel that are making people aware of their sin, making them aware of the importance of a relationship with God. So when you talk about compromise, elaborate on compromise. What is that?
When we talk about compromising the word, we're talking about, in this time, the Bible talks about the Laodicean church. The Laodicea means please the people. So
right.
We're in the last church age, we're in the Laodicean age, and what's happening when people compromise, they only preach what the people want to hear. And you
right.
can't preach just what the people want to hear. You can't preach, you know, turn around five times and clap your hands three times and God's going to give you a blessing. Run down the aisle and come back and watch God watch you run into your destiny. You understand? God is getting ready to deliver you, you understand, out of a situation. And we're preaching favorable messages, and we're not touching on the matters that we need to touch on, which makes us a compromising type of leader that's going to pacify people, or just to keep an offering coming in, or just to keep a building, or just to be in the in crowd. You're going to, and you know that you're not supposed to allow a person that has not been in ministry over 3 months, and you elevate him to a bishop because he got money. You see, that's compromise. That's compromise. If you can give me $2,500, I'll give you your papers. That's compromise.
That's not
how it goes. See, and this is what people are doing. They're putting novices, and the Bible says, do not put a novice in a position of leadership, because the devil is going to tempt them and draw them away. But if you got
right.
enough money, let me tell you something, man of God. You can, right now, you can't go to T.D. Jakes' church, I'm just saying now, and walk
mm-hmm.
in there and see him. But guess what?
That's right.
If you sold $250,000, you'll be in his office in the morning.
Right.
That's compromise. That's just true for the
That's
mouth.
Compromise.
Now, people might not
That's
want
right.
to hear, but who cares?
But it's the
you
truth.
Understand?
That's right.
If you got $1 million to sow into one of these mega preachers' ministry, you can go on stage.
Yeah.
Look at Tyler Perry. He can go on stage. I bet
Come
you
on.
Can't go on stage if you go there. You try to walk
That's
on stage,
right.
security going to throw you on the ground and drag you out of there. But you mess
That's
around
true.
And let them say, this guy here getting ready to write $1 million check. And they know you got some money. They're going to bring you on stage and give you the microphone. That's compromise.
Amen. That's compromise.
That's compromise. Yeah, you can't come to my church and pay your way in. It don't work
That's
like
right.
that. You got to come
That's
to the
right.
church. You got to be willing to serve for a while and learn and sit up on the leadership. And then
come on.
When God tells the leader that you're ready, then the leader will elevate you to the position that God wants you to do it. But people are compromised. You understand?
That's
people
right.
can know that a leader is in an immoral relationship. He got his girlfriend sitting on the front row of the church, his wife sitting next to him, and still let you come up there and preach. And know you got a relationship with that woman. Know that
right.
that's your girlfriend, and still let you preach. That's compromise
right.
to call it your name. I'm going to call another name out. Then folks might not like it. I really don't care. Brian Korn, how in the world can you have all these babies in the church?
Come on. Come
and
on.
Folks still letting you come out here and preach like you preaching and talking about you prophesying to them, and your life ain't even in order. You don't even have a wife, but you got two or three kids in the church.
Come on.
But you're the prophet
the
of the Lord.
Right.
Yeah, in the church, but you're the prophet of the Lord. And one of the women said that you gave them a venereal disease because you're promiscuous
yes.
and you in the church.
Yes.
And then you turn around and you say that you're a prophet of the Lord and you prophesy to the nation, and folk will let you come in their church and preach with your immoral, nasty self because you got some fame and some money. Now, they'll say, the apostle, don't put your mouth on the prophet. I ain't going to put my mouth on the prophet because I ain't like that. But I'm going to tell you just how it is.
That's right.
You understand? If you do something wrong, I'm supposed to repeat a guy out of line. Paul rebuked him.
That's right.
He rebuked him and told him to get back in line. Folk will try to tell you don't say nothing because that's a man of God. That's a woman of God. The devil is a lie. The Bible said that he that is spiritual restore.
Restore.
That's what he said. He said restore him back.
How do you restore without exposing?
Well, you can restore by going to him in private. Because the Bible says, the Bible gives up the remedy to do it. He said, if you got all to get your brother, go to him. If he won't hear you, then you take somebody with you. If he won't hear both of y'all, then you take him before the church. The Bible gives you the remedy.
Yeah.
That's the remedy. The first thing you do is go to him by yourself.
But see, what I'm finding in the church is that when you go to these people, they are so high and mighty. They are so much more further than you that they don't want to deal with their fall or what has taken place. And so what I'm finding in this season, man of God, is that God is pulling the cover. God is pulling the cover, and he is allowing for everybody to know what's really going on.
Exactly. And here is the thing. Once you get to a certain level, if you don't have no type of spiritual covering that you respect, they're not going to listen to you. You can't go. It's not like it was in the Old Testament where the king had a prophet that he respected, and the prophet would go to the king and tell the king that, hey, what you're doing is wrong. But even when the prophet went to David, he had to go to David a certain way. He couldn't go straight to David and tell David, hey, you're doing wrong. God, get ready to punish you. He had to go to David and give him a parable. Once David agreed to what the prophet was saying about the parable, that man should die, the prophet said that man is you, and that convicted David. You see, so you got to know how to go to people. But if you don't have no name for yourself, if you don't have no respect in the religious community, they're not going to listen to you. People listen. A preacher will listen to Oprah faster than he'll listen to a prophet.
Come on.
And we know Oprah said that she don't believe in Jesus, but they'll believe what Oprah say before they believe what T.D. Jakes say. You know, or what another prophet say. They'll believe her because of the money that she has, and she has no anointing. All she has is money. So what we have to have is, and the reason why it's like that is because we're putting people in position, and also people are just going into position and don't have no spiritual covering.
Come on.
If they had a spiritual covering, then the covering should go to them and tell them when they're wrong. But
this
they don't have no covering. People go to school.
Yeah.
They go to school. Get a degree.
Yeah,
get ordained at school. Start calling themselves apostle or prophet. Don't have nobody over them to check them when they're wrong, and that's what happens.
That's right. This is what happened. And so now we're at a place now where we have to deal with the church and how it responds to this situation. We've got to deal with the church. We've got to deal with the people of God, because a lot of us are set in such a way that we are turning people away from God. Something that I've learned is that you cannot Bible beat people into salvation. Something that I have learned is that you cannot browbeat people into salvation. What you have to do is you have to love people into salvation. You have to be able to love me, but all at the same time stand in what you believe. You've got to be able to love me and still not compromise your holiness, or not compromise the word of the Lord and what it says concerning the sin that I am committing. Men of God, how do you handle, because just like I have a church, and there has been many lesbians and homosexuals that have come through the church, and we have watched them change. We have watched lesbians, I'm talking about the hard ones, come through and God change them. We will watch this happen right before our eyes. Men of God, how, explain to us tonight so that people will understand, how do you love them but not compromise the word and still not run them away because they have a soul? You understand what I'm saying? And we are concerned for the souls of these people. How do we rightfully deal with this situation in the house of God?
Well, what I see is, like now, you know, if I saw a person that was in any type of immoral act, they come to the church, I embrace them. I tell them that the Lord loves them, and I do too.
Right.
And I don't put them out to expose their sins.
Right.
What I do is I talk to them in private concerning the things that they're dealing with.
Okay.
And I still preach the word of God, and I tell them,
right,
I'm going to preach the word regardless if you're here or not, because the
right.
word is going to transform you.
Right.
But don't take it personal. Don't think I'm talking directly about you when I preach. I'm talking about the sin that you're in. I'm not talking about you as a person. I'm talking about what the Bible says about the sin that you're in. And I want
right.
to separate you from the sin that you're in. So how do we do this? We have to show the people that adultery, and have to teach them what adultery is and what adultery causes in your life.
Okay.
Now, the word of God is going to convict them, and the word of God is going to change them.
Okay.
It's my job. My job and duty is to love you in spite of what you're doing, but
okay.
still tell you what you're doing is incorrect.
Okay.
That's what we have to do. Just like a child. If a
right.
child does something wrong, we chastise the child, but we don't just put the child out of our house. We don't
right.
stop feeding the child. We don't stop clothing the child, but we
right.
chastise the child. Tell the child what is wrong, why it's wrong, and why they should not be doing it. Now, a person is either going to accept that or they're
right.
going to reject that. Your job is just to tell them. It's their job to accept what you're saying or reject what you're saying. And
right.
don't feel bad if a person rejects what you're saying. Because
right.
the Bible says for you to tell them, cry loud, spare not. Do not
That's
be
right.
afraid of their faces. That's what he said. Just tell them. The Bible also says some people you save with compassion, and some people you save as though you're snatching them out of the fire.
That's
so
right.
some people you're going to have to go to them, and you're going to have to go to them with, look, I really love you, I want this and that. And some people just going to have to hard down and just tell them, you're going to hell if you
That's
don't
right.
get right.
That's right.
So it comes with the anointing of God, and it comes
right.
with training. And the reason why people are running folk away from the church is because they don't have no training.
Right.
They're trying to counsel.
And
they don't know how.
Go ahead. Yeah, and then they don't have compassion either.
They don't have compassion. They don't know what it is.
Right. What I, man of God, I have to be honest with you and tell you that I thank God from where God brought me from, because of where he brought me from, I understand how to deal with others that are in that space. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I understand And when I speak to them, they understand that I understand where they are. You know, I'm not just saying I understand. I really do understand. But just because I understand doesn't mean that I agree with it. Because whether I do it or whether you do it or whether anybody else do it, it's still wrong.
Right.
Okay? So, man of God, after you have spoken with these individuals and you have, you know, and you let them know, because I've been in a situation where they felt like, oh, he's throwing off on me from the pulpit. Them not understanding, even after I've spoken to them, that the word is simply the word, and it's going to hit. The word's going to hit everything in the room. It's not just going to touch you and your sin, but every other sin in the room is going to touch it too. How do you deal with that when you have individuals who are dealing with the lifestyle and they say, you're throwing off on me, Pastor Ferguson. You know, you're preaching my business from the pulpit. How do you deal with that?
You have to teach what polarization is.
Come on.
People understand polarization. You can't polarize the word. Polarizing the word simply means that you're trying to say that the pastor, like you say, is throwing off on you. That's polarizing the word. Right, that's polarizing. It's unfair to the pastor because the pastor had to teach the totality of the Bible. So you
right.
have to teach your congregation never to feel like I'm talking directly to you, right? Because
right.
because of what I'm saying, I have to deal with the situation, and you also have to tell them that when I speak, it's the Lord speaking to you and not me. It's the
right.
Holy Ghost talking to you and not me. So if the
that's
Holy
right.
Ghost say, if you tell me something and the Holy Ghost brings it up, it's because he wants to deal with what you're dealing with. And,
right.
and this is the time that he's going to deal with it when I'm up under the anointing. Right?
Right.
So another thing that we should not do when we're talking, don't look them right in their face.
Right.
Because if the congregation knows that this person is homosexual, and all of a sudden you start talking about homosexual, you look at him right in the face and point at him, he's going to feel some type of way. So when you talk, you understand, you talk, you don't just lay your eyes on him. You engage the entire congregation when you're
right.
talking. In this way, the
Come
person
on.
Won't feel like you're singling them out. This takes
That's right.
practice. It takes practice. It
yes.
takes training. You understand?
Yes.
If I have two or three homosexuals in the congregation, my message ain't gonna be on homosexuality every Sunday.
Amen.
Because
Come on.
They're gonna leave. You understand?
That's right.
I'm gonna talk about servanthood. I'm gonna talk about, you know, adultery. I'm gonna talk about lying. I'm gonna talk about
yes.
sexual immorality. I'm gonna talk
yes.
about whatever God tells me to talk about: deliverance, healing, salvation. I'm gonna talk about different topics in the church.
Right.
Because the topic of homosexuality might not touch them, but the topic of healing might get them saved.
Right.
You see that? See,
that's right.
Because the homosexual thing, they may be hardened to that. I don't want to hear that.
Right.
I don't care what he say. I'm going to do this. So I'm going to talk about the salvation of the Lord and how the Lord
right.
can deliver you out of anything, and how the Lord
yes.
wants to change you and transform you and fill you with the
yes.
Holy Ghost and bring you to a new life. I'm going to talk
Come
about
on.
That. That may get to them instead of me saying, you know, you can't be gay. You can't be homosexual. You're a faggot. I'm not going to do that.
That's right.
I'm
going to
talk
right.
about everything in the Bible until the right things hit your life.
That's
and
right.
that's how you deal with that.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Ferguson, I want to go and talk about tact, all right, because
mm-hmm.
what I find, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to describe to you a situation that took place actually right here in Pensacola, Florida. A young man that was a part of my church, we went to another church to be a part of a pastoral celebration, and there were about four or five homosexual young men sitting in the back of the church, and you could look at them and tell that that's what they were. And this man of God got up, and he begins to call them faggots from the pulpit. He begins to call them sissies from the pulpit. He begins to say, I don't want no sissies playing for me. I don't want no faggot playing the drums for me. All these different things from the pulpit. And a young man that was a member of my church was walking out of the sanctuary, and he said, see, when you start talking about these things, faggots have to get up and leave. All right?
Okay.
I waited until this man was done, you know, with his message or whatever, and I got up and I told my testimony because I wanted to help the people to understand that, you know, you have to address this. You can't just leave this like this because these young men could leave this church and commit suicide.
Uh-huh.
So as I told my testimony, it actually brought the young men to repentance, and they actually got up and allowed prayer, you know, and the whole church, I told them, repent, because I don't know what you had in your mind while the man of God was up. You understand what I'm saying? And so how do we as men of God, you know, deal with tact across the pulpit when we are not saying offensive things and saying things to a place where somebody does shut down or where they do leave the church and go commit suicide or whether they leave church and never, ever go to a church again? How do we do things tactfully?
It's going to take training, man. It takes training.
Yeah.
See, a lot of preachers have not been trained. They just went out and started preaching, right?
Right.
And so by them not sitting up on the leadership, and they're not sitting up on a pastor that's going to train them, then they go out and make these valuable mistakes, and that is a mistake. You know, you can't get up and call anybody out of their name. You know.
No.
Just like the word, the N-word, right? You can't get up in
yeah.
the church and call people the N-word. I see a lot of preachers that curse in the pulpit, you know, and because they don't know how to use the words correctly. I'm going to use the word, and I'm going to show you the word I'm talking about. For instance, the word ass.
Right.
If I'm talking about a donkey, then I am using the word in proper context. If I'm talking
right.
about someone's behind, I'm using the word in the improper context.
Right.
So what it takes is people have to understand the context of the word, just like the B word. If I'm talking about
right.
a female dog that just had puppies or she's in heat, then I can use that word because it's the proper term for what that dog is doing. But if I call
right.
a woman that, I'm using that word out of context. So what happens is people have not been trained. They have not
no.
had any public speaking classes in order for them to get up and stand before a congregation and say the right thing. Another thing is a lot of these are in the flesh. They're not in the spirit.
Come on.
They're coming out of the flesh. If you're homophobic, then you're going to get up and you're going to say things like that, you know?
Right.
If you don't like women, you're going to get up and you're going to bash women. You're going to say,
right.
I don't believe a woman should be a bishop. I don't believe a woman
right.
should be an apostle. I believe a woman
right.
should be a prophetess and not a prophet. So if you're a womanizer,
yeah.
you're going to say those type things. You're not
right.
going to allow women to come in the pulpit. It takes training,
right.
man of God. And the
right.
only way to do that, that's why when you see preachers doing that, when they open their mouth, you see the level of training and understanding that they have.
Yeah.
And if a person walks out of the church, I don't blame them for walking out of the church. You understand?
Right.
But what I would
right.
want to happen is that a seasoned leader that will see them walking out of the church will go behind them and tell
right.
them that I apologize for what was said to you in there, and I would not. I do not want you to leave. Or the seasoned leader get up and take the microphone from him. That's what I would
right.
do.
Right.
I would take the microphone
exactly.
from him and rebuke him openly.
Openly. And the only reason I
say
didn't. That. Amen. The only reason I didn't
Amen.
Do it is because it wasn't my church.
Amen.
I was, oh, my God. You know, and this is something that we have to understand, people of God. And I pray that you're hearing this tonight so that if you are one of those persons that have been abused across the pulpit, that you understand that every pastor, every leader is not that way. Don't allow that to stop you from going to the house of God. I need you to hear me because it was the word of the Lord that delivered me. It was because I kept going to the house of God. It was because I kept going in spite of what I felt. It was the word that delivered me. man of God, in the church, period, and dealing with sin. Because, as I said, I don't just want to harp on this one sin, but I want to talk about sin, period, because all of it is sin. We have a people that have put something out on Facebook that I want to address tonight. They said that if with this going on, there is some serious apologizing that God has to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. Man of God, how do you feel about that statement? What comes to mind when you hear that statement?
God don't have to apologize for nothing. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for not just the sin of homosexuality. This is what
come on
fail to realize. They're not reading their whole Bible. See, homosexuality was one of the things that they were destroyed for, but they were also arrogant. They also were liars. They had all types of sins going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so they take the word Sodom and they say, well, hey, Sodom comes from sodomite. Well, the word sodomite comes from the word Sodom, but that was not the only thing that they were guilty of. So God is not going to have to repent for destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, because it was not just for homosexuality. They had more than that going on. People don't know their Bible. That's what's happening, right? So you have to get somebody that's able to teach the, like I said before, the totality of the word before people open their mouths and we see how uneducated they are in the word of God.
Amen. Amen. And people of God, I pray that you're hearing this tonight, that you're really getting this tonight. And I'm grateful and thankful for every one of you that have joined us tonight. I'm grateful for this man of God who thought it not robbery to join us tonight and to discuss this issue. And what made me invite you onto the show tonight was a video that you put up on Facebook. And I would love for you to expound just a little bit on that video and what prompted you to do the video. And in the video, you were saying that we, real men and women of God, are not afraid of you. We are not going to marry you. We are not going to perform weddings for you. Expound on that. Talk to us about the video that you did on Facebook after this law was passed.
Okay. Well, here's simple. You know, what's happening is what some of the people are going to do that are in these organizations, these gay rights organizations, they're going to target the churches, which they don't have to target the churches. They can just go to the courthouse and get married, no problem.
Right.
And, but because this is satanic and demonic in nature, they're going to attack the churches, and they're going to plant people in these churches to listen to these pastors and get audio and video of them talking about homosexuals, and they're going to find out if they are 501c3 churches, and if they are, they're going to sue them for their homophobic statements. So churches that have these 501c3s have to be careful that they can't talk against homosexuality. They have to embrace it. So when I said that we're not afraid of you, I'm talking about the real men and women of God that are not up under government rule. We're not going to back down. We're not going to change our stance when we tell you that homosexuality is wrong. We're not going to be afraid of you coming into our church. You're not going to intimidate us into marrying you. All I'm going to say is go down to the courthouse. Since the Supreme Court says that it's legal, then go to the courthouse and get married. I have no problem with it. I am not your judge. God is going to be your judge, and God is going to be my judge. So you're not going to intimidate me and force me into doing anything that's against what I believe in. But some pastors are going to be forced into doing it, or they're going to go to jail, or they're going to have to pay back these millions of dollars that they've gotten from these different grants, 501c3s, because they work for the government. Anytime
right.
you receive those funds, you work for them. So there is no separation of church and state when it comes to your 501c3 back church. You're a part of the government. So we
right.
are not a part of the government. The real apostles and prophets that have discerned that God does not want us to get the government's money. He wants us to have faith in him and do what he
right.
tells us to do. We're not going to be afraid and intimidated. You're not going to come into the church. I'm not going to make you no bishop. I'm not going to make
right.
you no apostle. You understand? Because, and you're not going to force me to put you in a leadership position until you are
right.
delivered.
Right.
And that's just the bottom line to it. If you are delivered, if you were in a homosexual lifestyle, you came to church and you got delivered, and God called you to be an apostle, a prophet, I'm all for it. Because guess what? The church
right.
needs you.
That's right.
The church needs you because, just like you were saying, you understand.
Yes.
You understand more than me because I have never been there. But since
right.
you have been there, you're able to touch on something that I can't touch on.
Right.
So we need you in the body of Christ. So yeah, but I can't put you there. I can't confirm you being anointed by God until you're first delivered. You'll have some people that are in leadership positions that are not delivered from those things that they're doing. So and they have hidden what they're doing. So how do we address this situation? All we can do is just pray that God
yes.
will help deliver them out of the situation. This is why it was so hard for people to understand what happened to Zachary Timms.
Yeah.
Because
right.
he had a problem with women, and he had a problem with cocaine for years.
Right. Right.
And no one could go to him and check him because of the status that he had, but as soon as he died, everybody wanted to say that they had talked to Zachary Timms about the things that he was doing. Well, what you should have done was pull them papers and sat him down.
That's
but
absolutely
it's
correct.
It's hard to sit a man down once he gets to a certain status. So guess what had to happen? God removes him off the earth. So if we continue to pray that the will of God
yeah.
be done, the people that
yeah.
are hiding those things, God is going to remove them off of the earth. There's nothing that we can do about it.
That's
but
right.
Except,
that's right.
And that's what
right.
God did. God removed them.
That's right. That's right. And I'm finding that before he allows you to lead his people in error, that he will remove you. And my daughter and I were just talking about yesterday, we were talking about how God first will warn you in private, and he'll give you
right.
opportunity to correct yourself privately. But when you do not correct it privately, he will then reveal it openly. And
that's
and
right.
that's what we're seeing in the body of Christ today. So many leaders are falling, and it's being revealed openly now. And so, man of God, all I know is I'm full. I feel like I done been to church tonight. And I really am happy about, you know, the way that this broadcast has gone tonight, because people need to hear all over this world that you cannot compromise the word of God. The word of God is just as it is, and you got to live it, all of it. And you can't compromise it. So, man of God, as we wrap up tonight, we got about 30 more minutes, and I want to address the fact that, as you stated, the mega ministries that are really in a place of 501c3 status, all of these dollars are coming into these ministries. Man of God, what is going to happen with all of these souls that are under these ministries that are compromising the gospel? How do I sit under a leader that compromises the gospel and my soul not be compromised?
Well, man of God, you know, there's so many different leaders out here in the world until and so many people are saying so many different things. That's why the Bible tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God.
That's right.
A workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Even though
that's
you
right.
hear a pastor say something, you're going to have to go and study for yourself. You got to pray for yourself. The Bible says, work out your own soul salvation with fear and
that's
trembling.
Right.
You're
right.
going to have to take the time out. You got to fast. You got to pray. You have to study.
Yeah.
There's not going to be an excuse, oh, my pastor led me down the wrong road. No, that's not
right.
That's not going to be the thing. Because God is going to give every person an ample opportunity to get it right. God does not want no soul lost.
Right.
Right. So you have a choice and a decision who you want to follow, just like David Koresh when he said that he was Jesus Christ. Now the
right.
people were deceived by David Koresh, believing that he was Jesus Christ. But, you know, those people had to have had an opportunity to hear the real gospel because God is not going to be unfair and not allow everybody to hear the true gospel. So you're
right.
going to be accountable for what you know. And God is not unjust, so he's not going to give you an opportunity to get saved. He's giving everybody an opportunity to get saved. He's giving everybody an opportunity to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he died on the cross for our sins, and he has
right.
not, he's not reincarnated as a man walking around inside of a church.
Right.
God is not going to, he already told everybody he's going to come back and suspend himself above the earth. He's already told you if somebody says, here's Christ, there's Christ, come over here, I'm Christ, come over there. He said, don't believe them. So you
right.
have to get in your word of God, and you're going to have to read it for yourself because the Bible says in times past, God went on our ignorance. He went at it because you didn't know. But not today.
Right.
It's too much information out here, too many Bibles out here. The best-selling book in the world is the Bible.
Yeah.
But it's the least read book in the world.
In the world. Yeah.
So what's happening is people are not going to have an excuse because they're going to have an opportunity to hear the real word of God. Because there's too
that's
many
right.
prophets and apostles and teachers and pastors and bishops out here that's teaching the correct word. So you're
that's
not
right.
going to be able to get before God and say, I did not know. He's going to say, you're a liar.
That's right.
You did know.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And there really is not going to be an excuse. And people of God, I'm saying this tonight, and I'm glad the man of God is saying this as well. If you, and I tell my church all the time, if the word does not convict you, if you're not in a church where the word is convicting you, where the word is challenging you to live a better life, then you might need to pray and ask God, is this where you're supposed to be? Because the word should not be watered down. The word should be a word that challenges you to live better. We should be living better and better every day. Every day. And so tonight, I want to encourage everybody that's listening to share this broadcast with someone that you know it will help, as well as I want to challenge everybody today to start in your own house, loving your family, love everybody. You will be surprised what love will do for an individual who has lived a homosexual life or who has lived a life on drugs or who has lived any type of hard life. You will be surprised what love will do. Man of God, tell us what love has done for you in your life. How did love change your life?
Amen. What people have to understand about me is I was a major drug dealer in my city before God called me into the ministry. I served seven years in prison for drug trafficking and a host of other things that I did in my life. I was addicted to powder cocaine for years while I was selling drugs and when I stopped selling drugs. I have robbed people I beat people down. I've shot up places. I've done a lot of different things in my life. I've been a whoremonger, you know. But when I went to the man of God and told him what my life consisted of, he made me his armor bearer.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Even though I was he knew what type of person I was, he said, I want to keep you very close to me.
Right.
And my bishop allowed me to walk with him. And when I came home from prison, I didn't have any clothes. Took me to his house and gave me $800 and $900 suits, 20 pair
right.
of shoes, 10 suits. I didn't even have clothes. The man of God made sure I had, got me a vehicle to ride in.
Right.
Hallelujah, so I could be the church on time, open the door, open the church up and lock the church up. He gave me a key to the church. He gave me the key to
right.
his office, right?
Right.
I was his armor bearer, and he confided in me. He talked to me. He taught me. He kept me with him all the time. He made sure I wrote notes down about what he talked about. He would call me and check on me and make sure I wasn't doing the wrong thing. And this is what love did for me. Look
right.
at where I am today, and look at where I just told you I came from. I'm from the streets.
Wow. Yeah.
You understand? My mouth was full
yeah.
of gold and arms and body full of tattoos. I'm from the
yeah.
streets. You understand?
Right.
And the man of God took me in and made and put me close to him. He moved me from, you know, he had other armor bearers, but he pulled me and made me his head armor bearer. You
right.
understand? And I still was on drugs. You understand?
Right.
But he didn't look at that. He saw
no.
something in me.
Yeah.
He saw something in me. And the man of God loved me as his son. And even today, this is still my spiritual father. He's a bishop.
Right.
I'm an apostle. But he don't bishop my gift. He my bishop.
Yeah.
I don't care. That some people say a bishop can't be over an apostle. He over me because he
right.
my pastor. You understand?
Right.
I know what this
right.
man did for me.
Right.
Okay. And then I went to another church. I still was on cocaine at the time, and I called my pastor, my apostle. I said I, all night long I've been doing cocaine. I said I've been drinking, and I'm high. He said you need to be
yeah.
in church. I said, apostle, I can't come to church because I'm high. I'm sweating. I'm drunk. He said you need to be on your post when I get there. And I was
yeah.
the elder in the church at the time. And
yeah.
So I came to the church, and he came out. He just said it to me. He started preaching. The first thing he said was, how are you going to be a man of God doing the things that you're doing? How can you be an elder? How can you be an apostle? How can you be a prophet? He went down the line with it. He came down out of the pulpit. He had a towel in his hand. And as he preached, he was hitting me with the towel, but nobody knew what was going on because he was the only one who knew that I was on drugs at the time. And he was hitting
right.
me with the towel while he was preaching. You understand? He was
right.
He never removed me from my position because I was on cocaine. But after
right.
that day, I used cocaine one more time after that, man of God. And I didn't use cocaine again. And he never removed me from my position. And he never told anybody that I was on cocaine because he loved me as his son.
Right.
So I said to say this. You understand? Like you said from the beginning, true love, real love, will tell
mm-hmm.
you when you're wrong. It'll tell you when you're wrong. True love will tell you when you're wrong. True love is not going to compromise with you when you're wrong. They're going
that's
to
right.
going to tell you when you're wrong.
That's right.
And that's what people are getting mixed up at. They think that if I love you, I'm not supposed to say anything to you when you're wrong.
Oh, wow.
That's not it. If
Amen.
I love you, I'm going to tell you when you're wrong. I don't want no friend that's always going to agree with me, even when I'm wrong. I
right.
want a friend that's going to tell me that you're making a fool out of yourself when I'm wrong. Yeah, we might get mad with each other. Yeah. We might not talk for the rest of the day, but guess what? We still going to remain friends because we had enough love to tell me that I was wrong.
That's right.
And I believe that's what this show is about. Telling
right.
people that we love you, but you're wrong.
That's right. That's
you're
right.
wrong. You can't make right out of wrong. You are wrong
no.
in your
that's
thought
right.
process. You're wrong,
that's
but
right.
we love you, but you're wrong.
That's right.
You understand?
That's
you get in a car,
right.
you still in the car, you riding the wrong side of the road. I'm going to tell you on the wrong side of the road because I love you. Don't want you to kill yourself. You're wrong.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And when we are, when something that I realize in this leadership place that we are in, man of God, is this, is that we're not always in the know. But when we are in the know, we have to do something about it. When we learn that, just like the man of God, you said that he loved you and that he never removed you, but instead of popping you with that towel and preaching, which made
That's
you
right.
understand that he was talking to you.
That's right.
But at the same time, he loved you. He loved you enough to tell you the truth. And this
That's
is
right.
what we've got to get back to in the church, is that we can love each other enough to tell each other the truth. Don't allow your sister, your brother to walk in error because you say you love them. That is not love. Love is when you can let me know my wrong, and when you can pray me out of my wrong, when you can love me out of my wrong, when you can bear the infirmity of the weak. That is real love. And so
That's right.
tonight, man of God, I am most appreciative. I have enjoyed this. I hate to see it come to an end because I have truly enjoyed this tonight. And we definitely have to do a part two. I really enjoyed this. I've enjoyed the information that has gone out tonight, and I pray that it has blessed someone. Man of God, where are you? How can we find you? Do you have a website or what?
Amen. Amen. You can go on my website, www.valorim.org. That's www.valorim.org. You can find me on Facebook at Xavier Ferguson, or you can go to my pages. It is the Ascension House Global on Facebook, Ascension House Global, or you can find me at Xavier Ferguson on Facebook. And again, the website is www.valorim.org.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Ferguson, we have truly enjoyed you tonight, and we again say thank you for coming and being a part of this show tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, you already know that this is Real Talk with Darian A. House. You can find us at alabasterboxcm.org. Again, it is alabasterboxcm.org. And it has been a tremendous blessing tonight to see all of you guys on the line, to know that all of you guys are listening from your computer, your iPad, however you're listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us tonight. Before we leave the air, we want to pray and just simply ask God to forgive us and to also to close this taping tonight in his glory. Oh, God, we thank you tonight. We glorify you and magnify your name. We thank you for all that you have done, for all that you are going to do. God, we ask you to forgive us for anything that we've said, done, or thought that was not like you, God. Anything that is an impurity that's on the line tonight, God, if the word has touched somebody, God, we ask you to forgive them. We send proxy tonight, God, saying, God, forgive us, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. And God, make us ready, prepare us, God, for where you want to take us in this season, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord, for this man of God that took out time to come and be a part of this show tonight. We ask you to bless him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, God, his ministry, enlarge his territory, God, in the name of Jesus. God, cause him to go places that he never thought he would go. God, we bless you for it. We give you glory, and we give you all of the praise for it tonight. In Jesus' name, close this in your glory tonight, God, that somebody will be blessed even after this, that they would listen to it and be blessed. God, we thank you. We glorify you. We magnify your name, giving you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. Amen. Amen. Pastor, again, thank you so much for being a part of this taping tonight. And as we leave, we will give you a little music, and you can stay with us and listen at this wonderful song called Be Grateful. Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us tonight for another live session of Real Talk with Darian Ahau. Blessings. We love you.
Want to hear some of your favorite gospel artists sing live on the spot? Then visit gospelsinginonthespot.com. There you will hear artists like Zael, Ernest Hughes, Dwayne Woods, and Vicky Winans. Visit gospelsinginonthespot.com today.